Well, this morning we, I was listening to our songs and praying and looking at last little while about what I'm going to share. I knew I was going to share a few messages that I had in my heart, and usually I go comb over different things. You know, even if you speak the same message that you did before, God always makes it fresh for people, and you'll say things that you never said before. So even if you tried to, you couldn't save your life if you were to die, to preach exactly the same message. So I believe that this message is timely. And I was just listening to the two songs, Sing Hallelujah and The God of Miracles. The first one, Sing Hallelujah. I didn't realize about these two songs that how it actually fits into my message today. Can you sing a song in the midst of your trial? Can you sing a song? So the message I'm giving you today, it's called the topic here is handling life's problems, and how timely that is. And our text, or at least our title, is Don't Let the Storms Keep You Up. Don't let the storms keep you up. And so we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, and in that Mark chapter 4, there was a miracle in that situation that God was able to perform through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a timely miracle. I believe a timely miracle is coming your way. God is doing something right now for you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will begin to ask God or give your life to God, yield to the Lord. And let's go ahead and pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we endeavor to hear your word today, I pray the miraculous, the supernatural power of God will go into operation. Because you are a supernatural God. You're a God of miracles, as that second song said. You're a God of miracles. And I thank you that miracles are about to take place in people's lives this morning. I believe you're a miracle worker, God. I truly believe that. And someone who ever needs a miracle this morning will indeed have a miracle. God will intervene in that situation. And they'll be able to sing. Many people will be able to sing right now. I'll sing a hallelujah in the midst of my storm. And no matter what's going on, I'm going to sing praises to you, Lord, because things are about to change in my situation. So I'm thanking you. I'm not going to take this thing, these situations, lying down. I'm going to do whatever I can to stand my ground in faith. And I give you praise as I release the power of God upon everyone who's hearing. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the power of God go into operation in your life. If you believe that, say amen, amen. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 40. This is our text scriptures, and then 41. And as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and all began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back part of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Let's go to verse 41. The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So the message I want to get across to everyone this morning, or the whole point of the message, is that you can have rest in the middle of your storm or in the middle of your storms. You know, storms don't just come one at a time. They don't just come sometimes one time, but sometimes there's multiple storms. You know, some of you don't know, we were living in the south for a while when we went to school, and sometimes the tornadoes would rush into the area, and we'd all, it was so frightening at the first time I've ever experienced that, and I mean, people were, they knew about different things back there. They were able to huddle and go into the storm shelters or go somewhere, but we didn't know anything about being in a storm in terms of the coming weather, how it was, and the possibility of a tornado landing in our area. And so It was quite frightening for us to experience that. So maybe you're going through the same thing in the natural. A storm is hidden in your area. And over here in our chapter, or Mark chapter 4, Jesus said something at the evening time to the disciples. He said, "Let us cross over to the other side." And that is the other side of the lake. And that's the word of the Lord. I'm telling you today that the Lord is telling you, you're going to make it to the other side of the storm. You're going to go through to the other side and land safely. And so evidently they were with Jesus in the boat. Jesus was right there. And some of you in your storm, Jesus is right there. You don't see him. You can't feel him. But he's there with you. And you need to put your faith and trust in the fact that what Jesus said to you in his word, that you're going to make it. You're going to go through this situation. And so leaving the crowds, they went through the other side, or other people followed them. But soon the fierce storm came. You know, all of a sudden there's a storm coming. You know, the storms of life come to all of us, and God never promises that you'll never have a storm. And so you're going to have to be able to prepare yourself in life. I always tell people in our church, if you're watching from somewhere else today, I always tell people, you need to be ready for a storm even before the storm hit. You need to be working on stuff, coming to the services, being with other Christians. You know, when you're working in the church service or in the ministry like this, there's a lot of stuff to do. And while you're working together, God does something in that fellowship. Answers to life situations come up while you're working. And there's a lot of folks, you know, they think, you know, if we could just have a little fellowship meeting outside of the church, let's have a little church group going on here, like a side meeting. I don't know what they call those, house meetings. But you know what? If God didn't ordain it, nothing's too much going to happen. But if God ordained you to go to a church and work there, your answers are going to come. A lot of times, people who don't work in the church, they're always asking for extra meetings because they don't work in the church and they don't do anything else except, you know, wait for the... Probably they come to church once a month or whatever, and they're crying for fellowship. But if you work in a church service, you got two services, maybe three services a Sunday a week. And if you're working in church besides that and doing other things, you're always in fellowship. You're always connected, and the power of God is in operation. So somebody need to hear that, because you know, when you're working actively in the church in the ministry, things happening, God's going to do something in your life through that fellowship, and answers to your life problems will show up supernaturally. And so these guys had Jesus in the ship there. And so what's interesting about the situation here in this whole scene in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, 31, 39, and verse 41, is that Jesus was asleep while his disciples were up. And in your life, you know, you're up all night, and Jesus is not concerned about the storm, because he's already determined in your life that everything's going to be okay. And then you're fussing all night, worrying about different things. I know it's the hardest thing in the world. We talked about that last time when we were together here, that to be at ease and to be at peace when everything looks like it's falling over or falling apart and so on, life's going, you know, down the drain. But one of the hardest things is not to worry. That's one of the hardest things you'll do as a person of the Lord, is to not worry. So that's something that you need to learn as you go along. The more you learn about God, the less you worry. If you've ever been through a storm in the natural, sometimes people have slept through a storm, and the people will say, "Did you notice about the storm last night?" And you said, "What storm?" Well, they said, "Well, there was lots of thunder and blasting and rain coming down, and there was a torrential rain flowing. The streets were flowing with water, and things were going out, and lights were going out, and there was a shaking, or even our house was shaking." I remember as a kid, the storms were so strong that you could actually, the thunder was going, and you could actually feel the house shaking. And, you know, maybe you would say, "Well, no, I didn't notice anything." Well, that's the kind of thing that God wants you to know, that to go through a storm and sleep like a baby. And God doesn't want you to be up cringing fearfully and thinking about what's going to happen next. You know, so we need to be peaceful in the midst of the storm. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, trees could, or the storm could knock out trees and stuff was flying all over the place. And all this, you know, disturbs people. You know, I can tell you, as a kid, and I used to go to sleep and I hear storms. And in fact, it used to give me some kind of a calming effect, hearing the rain at least. Not all the banging, but, you know, at least the rain a little bit. So some people can't sleep during a storm for fear of dying or something disastrous happening. In other cases, some people experience storms of life, but they can go to sleep and be at rest. And don't you get mad at those people who can sleep during a storm and nothing ever bothers them? And I remember as a kid, fearfully, I'd be scared of some things, but some people just go to sleep. So God doesn't want you to be stressed out this morning. You know, these guys were with Jesus, and they're getting all stressed out, and they're worried, and they're yelling, they're moving about, and they're doing different things. So let's look at the picture again. Jesus is sleeping on the boat in the midst of the raging storm and the reactions of the disciples. This should tell us something about our own lives when the storms hit us. You know that you could probably be enjoying life and everything is fine and not expecting a storm. All of a sudden, something happens. What will happen when storms of life hit you? Will you rest during the storm? Will you be calm, or are you going to be stressed out? Well, over here in Mark 4:39, Jesus said, "Peace." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, the Bible says, and the waves. "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. This is Mark chapter 4:39. We see here, you know, somebody is listening today. You're having a raging storm. I mean, this COVID-19 and all the epidemic situations, shops closing down, money short, you know, different things going on. It's compounding your situation that you're experiencing. I believe, you know, God is about to do a miracle in your life right now. I believe it with all my heart, because here in this particular storm, they're all experiencing, they're with Jesus. I mean, you're with Jesus, you're a Christian, you're with Jesus too. And they're experiencing the storm. And in your storm right now, Jesus is all with us. Everyone that's a believer, if you receive Jesus as Lord, when he enters your life, he said, "I'll never leave you." Once he enters your life, he'll never leave you. You have to get that in your heart. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside you. And if you go down, he has to go down. So you're going to have to stand strong during this time. But here's the point here. Jesus is there, and he's ready to do something supernatural in your life right now. And he said in the midst of the storm, "Be still." And suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm, the Bible says. And you have to understand, this is not a normal situation. Who can just get up and tell the storm, "Be still"? You know, winds calm down, everything's slow, and all of a sudden there's a calm. That's a supernatural intervention of God. That's a supernatural miracle of God. That is a working of miracles in the gifts of the Spirit right here. And, you know, Jesus was able to work a miracle. He superseded the natural life, the situation there of the weather. And God is able to supernaturally intervene in your life. No matter what's going on, God will speed up the situation that you need help in. God will even halt the situation that's coming against you, stop it immediately from attacking you. God can bypass people and go right into you, work into your situation right now by a supernatural power of His Holy Spirit and the angels of God that are there working with you. I believe that with all my heart right now, that in the midst of the storm, a miracle took place. Jesus was able to intervene with them, and He's able to intervene in your life this morning. I believe you needed to hear that this morning. In the midst of the situation, a miracle in the storm of life, in the middle of a bad situation, God is able to work a miracle. So I want you to accept that this morning and believe it and expect God to do something in your life right now. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the storm calmer. He's right there with you, and he expects you to do your part. That is to believe him. Let's notice what he said and what he did here later. Let's take a look at the various phases and segments of this account and see what we can learn and apply it to our own lives. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and to 40. As evening came, Jesus told his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it all began to fill with water. Can you imagine that? Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, why don't you care that we're going to drown?" And here's something about it. Many people right now are asking God, like, "Where are you? Why don't you care about me?" And they're getting into some selfish, self-centeredness and asking God, "Where are you at this time?" You know, a lot of people are saying the same thing. They start cursing God. They start calling God down, saying all kinds of things negative about God and blaming God even for the storm. "Why are you sending these storms on me?" Well, God's not sending any storms to anybody. God's not bringing sickness on anybody. God's not making you short of cash or causing disturbances in your household. It's the devil. And sometimes people attribute the works of Satan to God. He's not going around tearing down houses and bringing storms. So they said, "Teacher, why don't you care that we're going to drown?" And so, of course, God cares about you. He's not going to let you drown. As we carry on here, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly there was a great wind. The wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked him, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And so here, you know, at least you need to believe God. In a situation like this, people are not believing God. They're actually coming against God by saying different things. They're accusing God for not caring for them. But God, he cares for you already. He's already given you something. He's given you the Jesus. He's given you the Word. He's giving you people with the Word to bring to you. He's bringing you people around you that believe like you to support you and to connect with you so that you can start believing the Word. And so during this trial, this test, you can rest during this test. I want you to say that to yourself. I'm resting during this test because this is a test right now. A question has been raised: can you rest during the biggest storms of your life? Your reactions, the way you act, tell the significance of what you really think and what you believe about God, the devil. And most importantly, what you think about yourself in your situation. So the Bible says we can act on what we believe, and many are acting on what they believed. And most significantly, the words tell us what they believe as well. There is peace in the midst of a storm. There is absolute peace in the midst of a storm. Jesus slept while his disciples were worried and fear came upon them. They were worried about what might happen next. And so, when you're in that situation, you need to tell yourself that God is at work with you. He's going to work with you. And so, seemingly, Jesus wasn't even aware of the storm that was raging, but his disciples sure did. What did they know before the storm hit, since they were all experienced sailors and fishermen? I wonder what they told him prior to that. Verse 38 here, verse 4, Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat, with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, why don't you care that we're going to drown?" Then Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to his disciples, "Silence!" Said to his waves, "Silence!" He should have told that to his disciples, "Silence! Silence! Be still!" Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. I think the Lord demonstrated our need to be at peace right there, and to believe God in the midst of the storm, or the biggest storm of your life, and not to be fearful. So in that situation, Jesus is telling you right now, wherever you are, calm down, be still, and you start using your faith. Jesus was expecting them to use their faith. I believe that they could have done that too. Jesus did it. They could have done it as well. They could have believed God. And so the devil likes to feed us a diet of fear and worry all the time. And they speak words of destruction and failure, that they're not going to make it. But we have to take Jesus at his word, because his last word to the life, he has the last word in our lives if we hang on and stay on the boat. Let's say this with Jesus. We need to say this to ourselves. When Jesus said, let's go to the other side, we're going to go past to the other side. You need to tell yourself right now that I'm passing through this storm. I'm going to the other side. And nothing's going to faze you. So you need to tell yourself right now, whatever situation you're in, tell yourself time and time again, I'm going to make it to the other side. I'm going through the storm. I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to look at the storm. I'm not going to look at the waves. I'm not going to look at the water. I'm not going to listen to the storm. I'm going to keep my senses away from that, and I'm going to focus on the Word of God. I'm going to make it. So Jesus said, let's go to the other side. We need to make that word a confession for our own lives that we're going to go through. This thing will pass as well. Jesus had the last word in their lives, and he has the last word in our lives. And that's when we need to understand about what the Bible says, how to handle situations. Before the storm, he said, let's go over to the other side. If you remember that in the first part of the chapter, he said, let's go. We're going to go to the other side. And so we need to understand that no matter what storms are going to come our way, God has predetermined our victory already. You know, God is called Jehovah Nissi in our life. He's the God of victory in our lives. And so if you don't have that concept, you're not gonna run to that word. You're gonna think, we got to have some little bit of storms, and we got to go down sometime once in a while during a storm. No, you don't have to go down in any kind of storm. The storms are going to come, but you don't have to go down with the storms. I know some people, I've heard some people say, yeah, you know, storms come, you can't help it, and God sends them, or storms come to our lives. Yes, storms come to everybody, but we don't have to die in the midst of those storms, and we don't have to be devastated after that. We can walk up, get up out of the storm, and get to a better place. So in that chapter, they did make it to the other side, and they got onto the other side of the lake. And the Bible says the disciples came there. When they got off the shore, immediately there was a demonic man there raging at the shoreline. and this is how it is in life sometimes. You make it through one storm, all of a sudden something else happens. You say, oh, no, not again. Another situation. Well, God is still there with you. And no matter, the storm is going to go past. And just when you get through the pass of the storm, there's another situation. You know, I think about Paul. He and all those people there, when they're going to Italy, I believe they're going to Rome, and they had this shipwreck. I believe it's Acts 27, 28, and they had a shipwreck, and they reached the shore, and they survived, and they're making some fire there, and all of a sudden a viper comes and bites him. You know, here's the situation. He escapes the sea. A raging sea and all the storm, and they had a shipwreck, and they swim to the shore, and then he's making fire to help him warm up, and he was working there, and a viper bit him on a hand. The Bible says he shook that viper off into the fire, and everybody was looking at him, all astonished, all the people in the land there on the island looking at him, expecting him to die, but he didn't die. That's the picture of you and I. We need to believe God, no matter what the situation is going on, that God is intervening right now in your life. So Jesus has the last word in our storm. So when Jesus was still some distance away, here's Mark chapter 5 and verse 6 to 8. Mark chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, New Living. When Jesus was still some distance away, a man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed down low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus of the Most High God, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. Jesus had, for Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. And so, here Jesus was coming there, and all of a sudden this demonic man shows up with the disciples. I wonder what everybody was thinking there. And of course, they're coming away, trying to get away from people. He's tired. The ministry people are tired, and all that. So people think, you know, the storms of life come, you know. They might not come all the time, but they're there. So can you stand? Can you still be at peace in your life when the storms are there, or even after storms? Sometimes, you know, after a storm, people get a little antsy because they think there's something else going to happen next time. They always say, well, I had a feeling. They're expecting something bad to happen. So during the midst of a storm, people will usually say this, you know, doesn't God care about my situation? Doesn't God care about, I mean, he does care. If you read the scriptures, God does care. But, you know, our actions and what we believe allows the enemy to attack us in our lives. And so we need to be in faith, protecting our own lives. And so God does care. And people are opening up themselves to the enemy's attack. By the way, they're reacting to the storms. They're acting like God is not even there. He's not going to be at work. You know, you need to expect there's going to be storms in life. And some people don't like that. You know, they say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe storms coming. No, storms are going to come to you. The Bible says there, 34:19 of Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them, all of them. And so the storms of life are going to come to all of us in every situation. And so in Mark 4:35, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. A misconception that there'll be no problems when Jesus is in the house. When you're a Christian walking with the Lord, that there'll be no problems in church. No problems in the ministry. When you're working with people. You know, I don't know where people get this concept when they come to church and they work with people that they'll never have a problem. You'll never have a misunderstanding with people. You'll never butt heads with your supervisor in church. And so they expect that you're going to have heavenly beings that have no will and no personality working with somebody and never notice your flaws, never notice your situations. And you might get mad at somebody and they'll get mad at you and you get put off by people. But people have all kinds of situations, and sometimes they work in church and they misunderstand people's behavior and misinterpret that and thinking that everybody's against them or that they don't like them. And I've seen that many, many times, that people who are untrained. So I tell people when they're working in church, you need to come to those leadership meetings and learn how to work with people. Learn how to think. Learn how to have a mind that is sanctified in the Lord, that understands people. People are not going to always be at the top of their game. And they might have a low day, and you might have a high day, and then you're working together. Or you might have a low day together, and boy, that can be a bad situation. And so have some understanding, have some care for people, because not everybody is going to be perfect all the time like how we expect. And so, like these disciples, like most people in church, they figured that Jesus didn't care for them, or God didn't care for them, and that they were about to die. These guys were experienced people working in the lake, and they were seamen or workers at sea. And so my question was, why were they so afraid? But Jesus slept through the night. This shows us that you and I, we need to learn how to rest. We need to learn how to sleep during the storms of life, and be calm. So it tells us that in there, that God does care and God will do something. And so that we need to expect, just like the disciples, that God cares for you and that the storm is going to pass. You're going to go through this thing. God's intervention is going to be there, his miracle power. This was a miracle operation to stop a raging sea and to calm a sea. That is a miracle of the biggest sort that you can imagine. And God performed that for those men in that boat. And so you and I need to begin to put our faith in God's situation, that he's going to help us. And so you and I can sleep in the midst of a storm. Many immediately get upset and they lose focus. They play right into the hands of the enemy when the storm comes. It's naturally hard to believe, but it spiritually can be done. Jesus said it. The Bible says sleep is a blessing, that he wants us to have rest and to be spiritually and physically at peace or at rest. Here's a scripture that blessed me many times, Psalm 4:8. My wife used to quote these scriptures to for our children when they went to bed. They made this confession when they were just little girls. They did it for many, many years. The scripture says there in Psalm 48, New Living, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." And we used to tell our little girls when they were little, my sleep will be sweet. I will sleep and I will be at peace. And so the girls would say this, and I believe that went into their spirit, and today that's lodged into their hearts. So rest and sleep are a blessing, folks. We need to rest in times of stress, and physical and mental storms will come, and we'll need to comfort ourselves through the scriptures in these times. And John chapter 14, verse 27, the King James Version, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you," or "I give unto you, not as the world giveth." You see, this world will try to offer you some kind of peace in from whatever situation or however form it comes. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's sex, maybe it's gambling, maybe it's entertainment of some sort, maybe it's a sport, and you'll have some kind of temporary peace. But it's not permanent peace. And the world gives you this kind of peace. Jesus said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So the world offers some kinds of peace, and you'll experience some of that, but it's not everlasting. And so, "Let not your hearts be troubled," he says, "neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. So we're not to let ourselves get distressed. And during these times, we're not to lack courage. You know, lacking courage doesn't mean you never feel afraid. Everybody has emotions. So having courage means you're going to do this no matter what, how you feel. It's not talking about how you're feeling. You're not acting on how you feel. Having courage means no matter what's going to happen to you, you're going to still act on the Word of God. So I want to tell you, Jesus is telling you right now, take courage. That means he's telling you no matter how you feel, don't depend on how you feel and act or react according to how you feel. Start acting according to the Word of God. So God tells you that it's your choice. So the Message Bible says this of the last verse. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. The King James says, let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus is telling you, it's your choice. You have to make a decision right now not to be troubled by the present situation. You can do it. God wouldn't tell you to do something that you cannot do. God wouldn't tell you something that He is not going to be there to help you with. He said, neither let it be afraid. You say, well, I'm afraid. No, God is telling you not to be afraid. The God who created the universe is telling you not to be afraid. So don't be upset. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Let's go look at the Amplified Bible, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I like that. Let's read that one more time in the last section. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Now, I know you're having a challenge, but God says you can have perfect peace in every situation, including right now during this epidemic, and give you courage. God will give you that courage, and He'll give you strength for every challenge that you're facing. I want to encourage you to believe that today, folks, to believe the Word of God, that He will give you that courage. Here's what the writer of the Proverbs says. You know, Solomon here, he said to be the wisest man ever. How would you like to get advice from the wisest man? Well, you're about to get it right now. He wrote many things about life that we should avoid or that we should be doing. He said here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23 to 26, they keep you safe on your way and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked. You know, this is a Proverbs in the living, he says that you don't have to be afraid of sudden destructions that come on other people when you're with him. Like other things might be happening, your next door neighbor or somebody down the street or somebody around your world, wherever you are. But he says you will not have to be afraid of that. Notice that. Let's look at that again. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. The wicked is, talks about anybody that's not in the Lord. You know, people that are doing good things, you know, God still calls them wicked because they haven't repented. They haven't come to God. You know, people might not like that, but that's the way, what God says. We need to get in with God and get righteous and get washed in the blood of Jesus because Jesus will wash every stain. You know, there's perfectly nice people that do wonderful things. They give money, they serve, they help. But if you're not born again, you're in that category. So that's what the Bible says. And so God is the one who determines these things. He understands this. He understands things more than we do. So, in fact, he calls our works, you know, filthy rags. The things that we do outside of the will of God or outside of God, he calls it filthy rags. So, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. And now that's a good word. That's a strong word. That the Lord will is your security. He'll keep your foot from being caught in the trap. You know, the enemy will put traps out there, but the Lord, he's right there to help you. The ever-present God. He's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. So who really cares about you? Well, God cares. Mark 4:38, Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care for it? We're going to drown. We're about to drown. We are going to drown," they said. "Don't you care?" And people always say that, even with each other. You know, during a storm or a trial or a difficult situation like this, people start fighting amongst each other because there's stress. You know, I don't know what's going on in your house, but sometimes people get stressed out with each other, living with each other 24 hours a day. You're forced to stay with each other now and be it with your family. And sometimes things can happen. But God cares. You're not going to drown. These disciples didn't have confidence in Jesus' word that he said that in the beginning, that they're going to go to the other side. So there is peace and rest in the middle of any kind of storm that we're having. So Jesus proved to them right there that they can have that peace. Their thinking was because Jesus was not scurrying about like them. You know, sometimes people get upset with you if you're not going to get upset with them because of the present situation. No, you're acting on the word. Everybody's acting or reacting to the situation. When you act on the word, that word is stable inside you. The Bible says it's an anchor in you, keeps you stable emotionally. You're not up and down, up and down, and up and down. You can control the way you feel and think. And so that's how the Bible says about the word. So we can just be exuberant and be happy if we want to. Some people don't understand that you can actually praise God no matter what is going on, even when the trials come, because you're in control. You're the one that's controlling your feelings. You can lift your hands and worship God, come here Sunday morning to a service, or even your own home when you're having trouble. You can lift up your hand and say, "Thank God, He's taking care of me." So God's word here is God Himself speaking to you. He said, "Let's go to the other side." We need to learn to speak against the storm instead of for the storm. And the Bible teaches us in Genesis that God spoke to the natural, and He caused the natural to come into being. And God says, "I want to give you that same dominion. You need to dominate in your situation right now." The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 24, Paul says that God says He puts all things under our feet. The Bible says He put all things under, here in Amplified chapter 1, Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, Amplified. He put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet and appointed Him as supreme authoritative head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills and completes all things in all believers. And I believe that if need be, that, you know, if you have a situation that requires a miracle, I believe that God, if you would believe him, because it says all things are possible to him that believes, and the Bible says there, we need to believe God, no matter what our situation is. And if nothing else naturally can help you, the medical doctors can help you, banks can help you, construction people can help you, whatever, if you're having construction, then they can help you with your situation. I believe God can do something. In Mark chapter 1, verse 25, Jesus said to a demon, "Hold your peace." He said, "Shut up." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of him." This is Mark 1:25. That's a miracle. It's a miracle for the Lord to speak to that spirit. It's a miracle when you speak to spiritual beings. And we need to be at peace and not be afraid. We need to take care of ourselves in the midst of a storm and learn to have peace. So you know, when things happen, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've seen things happen where God starts moving in a congregation of something, and God starts healing people, and we see different things. People start getting afraid of God. When the Spirit of God is moving, people are afraid of God because they're frightened. They see an angel, God sends an angel. They're afraid of an angel. And these disciples, when Jesus performed that miracle there on that boat, they said, "Who is this man? What manner of man is this guy?" And they got afraid of Jesus. They started getting afraid of Jesus. And sometimes in your life, you know, you might be afraid of things that you don't understand. But God wants to intervene. You need to understand that God will intervene. They were afraid of the storm. They ran to Jesus. But when Jesus spoke to the storm, they got afraid of him. They said, "What kind of man is this?" Luke chapter 8, verse 25, he asked him, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him. You know, you don't know what people are like until they are in the middle of a storm. At a hostel, when you get a last report at the bank, when there's no money left in the account, the following account the Lord teaches us, the disciples, you know, they needed to understand the situation. They needed to understand. Here in Matthew chapter 7, let's look at something here. We need to understand always that God will intervene in our lives. Anyone who listens to my teaching, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rains in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it was built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house upon the sand. When the rains and the floods came and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, he's saying that you need to build your life, build your spirit, renew your mind in the Word of God. Because when the storms of life comes, when the storms hit, your mind will automatically, you know, if it's renewed in the Word, it'll quickly go to the Word of God and bring up whatever word you put there about a situation that how God can help you. And your spirit will stand strong. You need to feed your spirit the Word of God. Read the Word every day. The other morning I woke up and I read the whole book of Hebrews. I believe it's 13 chapters there. I didn't just read it, how you quickly scan over. I read it word for word out loud to myself and looked at the word and began to meditate on the word and begin to take it in. And the time went by just so quickly. You know, I felt the Lord impressed me to read that chapter and understand some things about the book of Hebrews, and I really appreciate it. And I know that sitting down, feeding the word, a lot of times when I read the word, I didn't understand everything. I don't always understand the word, but I know that something's going on in my spirit that God is preparing me for another day. When I'm taking the word, I'm knowing that God is doing this for some reason. That's going to come out of me somewhere along the line. It's like when you eat food. They say what you eat, you are what you eat, basically. Your body is what you are. How strong you are is what you've been doing with your body. So the question remains is that How will you handle the storm? When the storms of life come, how will you handle it? How will you handle the storm? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says Psalm 107, verse 29, he calms the storm to a whisper and still the waters. You need to believe that God will calm your storm and help you go through this situation right now. And you need to understand what manner of man you are. You're a man and woman of God. You need to understand that you're a child of God and that God will not let you down. God will not let you go under. God will not let you be defeated. If you won't allow the devil to defeat you, if you won't allow the storm to defeat you in this life, God will not allow that storm. Whatever you come against, he comes against. You have a covenant with God, and his your enemies are his enemies. And so the disciples here, lastly, in Mark 4:41, they were absolutely terrified. Who is this man, they said. They asked each other, even the winds and obey, and the waves obey him. We need to understand what what manner of Jesus is, but what manner of man we are, the kind of people who we are. So do you know who Jesus is today? The question is, do you know who Jesus? Do you have him in your heart? You need to invite him into your life right now. So the Bible says over here, Christ's ability is our ability. Here in Philippians chapter 4, 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Over here in Mark 8, 37, he says, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. So we have to say, I can do all things through Christ. You need to say that right now, wherever you are. In your situations, you have to say this, I can do all things through Christ. Say it right now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Over here in Romans 8, 37, you can say, I'm more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. You need to say that I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Not through your ability, not through your education, not through your money, not through who you are, but through Christ. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Believe it. That's who you are. I am. I know right now. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Here's another scripture. What manner of man are you? Romans 5:27. I reign in this life through the one Jesus Christ. You need to say this to yourself. I reign in this life. I'm a king in my life. My word is the last word in my life. Say that to yourself. My word. The word reign. The word reign connotes about kingship and authority. You're reigning in your life by what you say. Whatever you say will happen in your life. You're a king in your life. Say this through Christ Jesus. I reign in this life through Jesus Christ. So let's go and read this one more. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. And folks, I want to tell you today, don't let the storms of life keep you up or put you down. Learn to stick with the word. Learn to stick with God. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. Let's pray all the people right there. Father, I pray for everyone right now watching this live telecast. In the name of Jesus, we here at this studio, at this church, all the staff are believing God with them, and we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus over them. We confer a special blessing upon each one right now. I want to thank you in advance for miracles that are happening right now. I want to thank you that the word of God is working in them right now to will and to do of his good pleasure. You're working in them right now in the name of Jesus. We speak against every situation that's come against them. We counter with the word of God. You say, this will not destroy them, but they'll go over to the other side of the lake in Jesus' name. Those of you who have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is an excellent time right now. If you've never been born again, say this, God, I thank you for sending Jesus. Forgive me, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe in my heart that Father God sent you to be my Lord and my Savior. And so right now, I'm inviting you into my life in Jesus' name. Come into my heart, and now I'm born again. Thank you, Lord. If you've done that, you are now a child of God. If you've done that for the first time, I want to send you a little book to help you get started and other materials if you need to help you get started in the things of life. Thank God for that. Amen. Father, I pray for everyone who's sick right now in the hospital and in their home. I rebuke the sickness. I take authority over every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus. And I pronounce the healing power of God upon each life by the power according to the word of God in Jesus' name, by the power of your name. I thank you for healing every sickness and every disease. Deuteronomy 28, verse 61 said, every disease and every sickness is a curse. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, might come upon me through Christ Jesus. Thank you for the blessing, the favor of God, the grace of God upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for tuning in again to our program, our live stream. This is exactly live. This is not tape. This is live. If you're watching here Sunday morning, in Jesus' name, and on Wednesday night, we're coming back to you with a great word of God to help you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time. Come on back. Amen.